What does this day mean for you? Mother's Day. What does it mean to you? Is it a great day of celebration for the beautiful woman who bore you and raised you and did her best to love and teach and give you advice about life? Is it a day where you get to call your mother or your grandmother and thank her or go over and give her a hug and kiss and a gift that you so thoughtfully bought for her? Is that the day for you? Is it a day when you do the same for your wife, your mother, your children, or the mother of your children? Or, like many in our world today, is this day a day of mixed emotions? Maybe for some of you, there's warm and there's people in your life that you're very thankful for. You could be thankful for, you know, the people that aren't your mother in your life, or maybe a significant woman. But for some of us, there's a sense of grief or maybe loss or even resentment at what we never had in the first place. And you know, this day can be, for some, it can be a real day of joy, but it can also be a real day of sorrow. It can be full of thankfulness, but it can also be full of regrets. It can be full of celebration, but it can also be full of mourning. And like I said earlier, I'm going to take a little bit of a different approach to tonight than a traditional Mother's Day sermon. I actually shared this one last year, and I just felt that it has such, for me, it was a really powerful night. And I pray that for wherever you're at tonight, whether you're celebrating Mother's Day or whether it's a little bit difficult for you, I pray that this message touches your heart. So let me pray. Jesus, again, we just thank you for your word and pray now that you would come and you would minister to our hearts. God, if we're over the moon and we're celebrating and we're so happy today, thank you for that joy. And Lord, we want to celebrate together with those who are celebrating. But God, we also want to realize and I guess stand with our brothers and sisters that for this day is not that easy. Father, would you come and would you do some heart work in us? Would you bring healing and comfort where it's needed? Would you bring a sense of joy and thankfulness where it's needed? But above all, Jesus, we pray that you would lead us now in your name. Amen. So I want to give you an opportunity to be real tonight. Is that cool? Can you be real tonight? Not nice shiny faces, but just be real. You know, this could go many different ways, but I want to ask a couple of questions. And if you're willing to be vulnerable and honest, I promise that I, for one, won't judge or criticize your response. In fact, if we're truly honest, there might be some answers to these questions that are confronting for you. And yet they might be the start of a healing process. So, you know me, I love questions. Number one, when you think of your mother, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Is it just so full of joy? Is it loving? Is it Christ-like? Is it broken, hurt, did the best she could in difficulty? It's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of your mother. See, for some of us, the answers to that questions are beautiful. They're examples of how God intended mothers to be. And for others, they give us insight into the brokenness that's a part of our world. Question number two. Can you think of someone in your life that has been a mother figure for you? What do you think of when you think of them? Are they generous, comforting, wise, compassionate? See, for the vast majority of people, even if our biological mothers were not how we would have hoped, there are women in our lives that have acted as mamas, pseudo-mothers, adopted moms, and praise God for them. Now I'm going to ask us to think of some more difficult things tonight, and this next question is going to be one of those. And this isn't one of those, okay, here's your out. If you feel uncomfortable, you can leave. No, I actually want you to feel uncomfortable. I want you to be okay with that. I want to let you know that if it brings up emotions, if you feel uncomfortable, feel free to move around, go for a walk if you need to. Ask someone to pray for you right there if you need it. But can I humbly ask you to persevere through that discomfort? If it's uncomfortable for you, if you feel like you're going to cry, that's okay. We're family here. Try to sit with that discomfort and ask God to meet you and help you through it, because we're family here. So here's the question. Can you think of some people that you know this day is difficult for? Maybe that's you. What situations make this difficult for some people? So this is an interactive moment now. What are some of those situations that make this day difficult? Meg. Yeah. Yeah. So if you didn't hear, for some women who either can't have children or haven't had children or haven't found that partner yet, in our society, that first question is, so are you married? You got kids? And that just brings up so much emotion when that expectation is that that's what you do when you hit a certain age. And it can be really difficult for people in that. What else? What is this? Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we can all think of people in our life where this day is hard. And as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we need to deal with this hard stuff of life. You know, faith in Christ is awesome. And there's those mountaintop experiences where everything's great and you're just so full of joy. And it's so, it just fills your life with this joy that is just inexpressible. But there's also some really, really sucky bits, isn't there? Some really, really sucky bits of life. And we need to get better, I think, at dealing with those sucky bits. Because think about this. Did Jesus walk around like this? No, he didn't, did he? When he got down into the dirt and the muck and the pain and the brokenness of people's lives, and I mean, he cried with people. God in flesh. Cried with people. We need to get better dealing with the sucky bits. Here's a question. How does our culture, how does our media say that we should deal with difficulty? How does our culture say we should deal with it? Yeah, don't let anybody know. Just put on the mask. Yeah. Yep. Go shopping or have a holiday or buy another cake. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry for you. I hope you feel better. Yeah. 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 Go find something to take or something to do, some experience. Forget about it. Put on a happy face. Tell a joke. Get drunk. Sleep around. Find a substance or a movie. Be a good person. Do lots of really good things for other people so you take your mind off of it. Just go on with life and time will heal all wounds. You know, we don't normally think about when we interact with someone. I don't know if we think about it as often as, say, I don't know if we think about it often. Think about this. What do we normally do when we know someone is going through a hard time? How do you normally deal with it? Like someone shares their story with you, and it's, you know, one of those, you know, heartstring tugging stories. I mean, how do you normally deal with it? What do you do? What do you think about? Oh, I'm so sorry for you. Oh, that's really hard. I don't really know what to say. Oh, what if I say something dumb? What if I make them cry? Oh, let's just change the subject so maybe they don't get upset. See, I don't know if we're all that good at dealing with difficult emotions. Because it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, can you feel the in your throat at the moment? Because this is hard stuff to deal with. Sure, you know, you might be able to put a sad face emoji on your text or on Facebook, but does that little yellow crying face really get across to someone that you're sad for them? Let's read Romans 12, 9 to 16. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. You know, the Bible is full of emotion, isn't it? Good and bad, easy and hard, joyful and painful. I mean, God is a God of emotions. Nice and pleasant, like love and compassion and generosity. But also difficult and seemingly hard emotions like anger and grief and outrage. See, God has given us promises of joy and peace and love, but he's also promised his hope in the midst of brokenness and difficulty. And I think the primary way that God has given this world hope is through us, through his church. Here, pop quiz. What's our church's mission statement? Sharing the life-changing good news of Jesus in our community with words of hope and acts of love. Sharing the life-changing good news of Jesus in our community with words of hope and acts of love. I don't just memorize that because I get paid to. It's a beautiful statement of what we're on about. Share the life-changing good news of Jesus in our community with words of hope and acts of love. And I think we're really good at doing that in good times. We're really good at that. But what about the hard times? What about when the letter from the doctor says cancer? What about when one spouse says, I don't love you anymore, I'm leaving? What about when those parents have to tell their kids that? What about when the bank forecloses and the family's not sure where they're going to sleep tonight? What about when that couple's lost one or more children, or they've been told that they can't have kids? What about those on a day like Mother's Day, whose mother is gone or has passed away, or who haven't had a good relationship with her? What is God's message of hope to our friends and loved ones when life is hard? Be happy with those who are happy, and weep with those who weep. John chapter 11, you probably all have it memorized. Jesus goes to the home of his best friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Lazarus is dead. Jesus waited 3 days to go, and now his best mate's dead. He sees the grief and the pain and the sorrow displayed by his friends, and he feels in himself, he feels this deep sense of loss. And John, he writes two of the most beautiful and powerful words I think there are in the Bible. God in the flesh. Snot running down his nose. Just weeping. Not sure what you think about this guy, Rob Bell. We won't get into all the fact that he's definitely a heretic now. But he produced this video series called Pneuma a number of years back. And there's some really good stuff in some of them. In one of the videos called Matthew, Rob, he talks about grief and how ancient Jewish people dealt with it and how modern Jewish people still deal with it. Does anybody know what they do? It's this practice when you sit with someone. Does anybody know what it is? It's called sitting Shiva with them. It's this practice of when someone is grieving, when you know someone has lost someone, they have to go through a period of mourning for their loved one. And one of these phases is called Shiva, and it's 7 days. And they don't work, they don't play, they don't have any entertainment. It's merely to grieve, to pray, to study the Bible, and to talk about their loved one. And to sit Shiva with someone basically means that even if you're not a family member, you go to their house during that period of 7 days, and you sit and you mourn and you just be with them. I mean, maybe you didn't know their loved one, but you know them. And so the idea is that you just go and you are another human being sitting there in their difficulty. You're not expected to give any wise words of insight or any trite words of comfort. You're not expected to do anything except sit with the family and be with them. That's it. If they want to talk about their loved one, you listen. If they ask you about your experience with their loved one, you tell them. If they want to be silent, you just be silent. You just sit there. No expectations except another human being sitting in the midst of their grief alongside. It's beautiful. Something we don't really do. We don't really have any cultural musts in our society like that. But last year I read this Facebook post by a brother in Christ who was going through just the most difficult experience I could ever imagine. And he had lost his son, and he's just in the bitter depths of grief. And he shared some points, and I wanted to read five for us, about when someone is dealing with grief and difficulty, what we should or can and shouldn't, or yeah, probably shouldn't do. Grieving people don't expect you to have words that will fix this, but they do want you to say something. They don't expect that you're going to say something that's going to make everything better or give them some spiritual or emotional insight they didn't think of. They just want you to say, I'm just so sad with you. Simple. You can't mess it up. Number two, grieving people don't want to hear a story about your own or someone else's loss unless they ask you. Keep the focus on them, on their grief and how the loss has impacted them. We think the story of our experience might help, but it usually won't. Their own loss is all they have space for in their thoughts, conversation, and hearts right now. So focus on them. Number three, you don't have to be in the inner circle of a grieving person's friends to be a welcome companion in grief. I think that one speaks for itself. If grieving people cry when you bring up the person they love who's died or the situation that's difficult for them, it's not because you made them sad. You know, sometimes when someone's going through something hard or like grief, we're afraid to bring that subject up because we think, oh, well, they're having a good day and I don't want to make them sad. But here's the thing. They're already sad. Truth is, you cared enough to bring up the one topic that they probably really want to talk about, but they don't always know how to bring it up, or they simply just don't bring it up because they don't want to make everybody uncomfortable. Number five, grieving people won't necessarily call you if they need something. Many times we say, I'm here, please just give me a call. And we mean it. Like, that comes from the bottom of our hearts. We want to be there, but sometimes in the midst of it, they can barely think straight. And so they just need us to think, oh, man, they probably need someone to clean their toilet. I'll just go do that. Probably need someone to make them a meal. I'll do that. Oh, they probably just need someone to go and, you know, just hang out and sit shiva with them. There's actually five more points. If you want to read the post, I'll forward it on to you. Just ask me afterwards. But I want to ask the question, where to from here? What do we do with all this difficult stuff? I want to encourage us with 3 points from tonight. 3 points from tonight's message to leave us with a sense of hope and joy. Because at the end of the day, God is in the business of bringing joy out of pain and goodness out of sorrow. Exactly, my boy. Well done. So thought number one, think of someone in your life, maybe it's yourself or someone close to you, who for them this day is hard for whatever reason. Think about why this day is hard for them. Do something this week to tell them that you're actually thinking about them, that you're praying with them, that you're sitting shiva with them in their difficulty. Go and have a conversation in person, not digitally. Go and actually be with them. If they live far away, call them on the phone. Don't send a text. But be with them, sitting shiva. If it's you, find a friend and ask them to come and be with you. If they don't know, say, hey, I'm going through some hard stuff. I need someone. Ask them to listen or to say something or not. Ask them to pray for you. Let them know that you don't need advice. You just need an ear. So can I invite us to just take a moment to pray for that person in our life? And then we'll go on to thought number two. Thought number two. Think of someone in your life that's been a mothering influence. Maybe it's a grandma, an auntie, a friend's mother, a person from church, someone who's been a loving and caring motherly influence in your life. If you haven't already today, call them up, say thank you. If it's 3 o'clock in the morning in Canada, you might want to wait. If you don't have their number, you don't know how to make contact, then pray for them. But be ever mindful that even if you yourself have faced difficulty in your relationship with your own mother, in all likelihood, there's a woman that God has placed in your life to be a positive influence. Thank God for them. So I invite you to do that now. Thought number three. Thank God for your own mother, whatever your experience has been with her. If it's good, then praise God for what you learned and how you were blessed because of her. If it hasn't been as good, thank God for her anyways. Ask God to heal you of any anger or pain in your heart towards her, and keep asking God to help you until you experience change in your heart. If you can, make steps to thank her for something today. Let her know that you've prayed for her. If she's not around anymore, thank God for her. And as we have before, let's pray and thank God for our mothers. I invite you to pray quietly, and then I'll close this in a moment. Yeah, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you so much for my mom. My own journey was pretty hard, but God, you blessed me with many years of her as my mother. Lord, you blessed me with knowing many other people in my life. And God, I want to thank you for my mom today. Jesus, thank you that she's in your arms now. Father, for other people who may have had great experiences of moms and they're just so thankful and full of joy when they think about their mother, God, I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for the blessing of that in their lives. And God, I want to rejoice with them. And Father, we thank you for the gift of mothers, grandmothers and aunties and other women in our lives that have been those influences. Father, we want to thank you for this day. And Lord, for those who this day is difficult, we pray that you would just be their comfort, that you would show them that you are the father that doesn't leave. In many respects, God, you don't replace our mothers, but God, you replace that loss that we have with a real sense of hope. And so I pray that that would be the experience of those here tonight and those in our world, God, that for this day is difficult. And Lord, I pray that as we go from this place, that you would fill us with a real sense of joy, that even as we've dealt with some harder things tonight, I pray that our minds and our hearts would not be heavy, but I pray, God, that we would be so full of joy and hope, knowing, God, that even in these difficult things, Lord God, you are big and you are strong and you are powerful, and Lord, you are the one who can bring us through anything. So, Lord, would you help us to share that message in our lives this week? Lord Jesus, thanks for our moms. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Molly, we can do it?